Our scripture reading, we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's important to understand the context here, and that's this, that the saints in Jerusalem are having a very difficult time financially because of a drought and a famine that has taken place in Judea, so that the churches in Macedonia area have been taking a collection, a benevolent fund collection for the saints in Jerusalem, and the church even here in Corinth has been taking collections for a number of times for the needy saints in Jerusalem. Paul is going to travel to Corinth soon to collect that benevolent fund and to deliver it to Jerusalem, but before he travels to Corinth, he's going to send Timothy, he's going to send others to Corinth to make sure that all of the collections have been taken, that they have all been gathered up, and that enough money has been gathered for the saints in Jerusalem. And so, in that context, with that in mind, we can understand chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This is the word of God. God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The text we consider for our Thanksgiving sermon consists of verses 8 and 11. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, and then verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, back in the springtime, we celebrated Prayer Day, and that symbolized the beginning of the planting season. And now, 6 months later, after the crops have been planted and after all of the bounties of the earth have been gathered up in the harvest, now we have Thanksgiving Day, a day that marks the end of the growing season and a rejoicing in the fruits that God has given. And this year, from what I've heard, in this area at least, we have so much to be thankful for. The land produced in good measure, and for that we give abundant thanks to God. And for all of us, no matter what our occupation is, we look at all that God has given unto us, especially all of those physical gifts, and we give God thanks. We give God great thanks for supplying all our needs in the year gone by, for giving unto us food, for giving unto us clothing, giving unto us sufficient shelter, and so many other earthly possessions that make our lives manageable, that even make our lives very comfortable. And we do well to ask ourselves the question, are we thankful for these things? Are we really and truly thankful to God for all of these things that He has given unto us? And do we find it in the depths of our hearts that we are a thankful people? And we have to be reminded to be a thankful people, especially because we live in such an unthankful society, a culture which really displays nothing but a spirit of ingratitude and covetousness, an age when no value is placed upon that which is done for us. We live in a day when the children of this world expect more and more, and no matter what they receive, it's never enough, and little, if any, gratitude shown at all. And not just children, mind you, but adults behaving the same way. And no matter what a person receives nowadays, it's usually met with some kind of a quizzical look, as if, is that all that you're going to give me? Isn't there anything more besides that you want to give? And that unthankful attitude can even creep into the lives of God's people. And so, this morning we gather together to thank God consciously and to be put in the proper frame of mind that we are dependent and to give thanks unto God. Well, for what do we give thanks? Today we have in mind especially the physical and the earthly gifts that God has given unto us. Now that doesn't minimize the fact that we owe God great thanks for all of the spiritual blessings that He gives unto us. Of course we do. We thank God for the blessings of joy and peace and happiness. We give God great thanks for that spiritual blessing of the forgiveness of all our sins. Every day we give God abundant thanks for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all that He has done for us. But now on this Thanksgiving Day, we now look around us. We look around our homes. We look inside of our garages. We look all around and we thank God for all that He has given unto us. But then we don't stop there. True thanksgiving isn't simply looking at all of the physical and material gifts that God has given unto us and to say, thanks, Lord, for all those things. Thanks. That's part of thanksgiving. But true thanksgiving is then going a step further and saying, and how can I use these things for the service and for the benefit of the neighbor? God has given me so much, and the purpose is not that I be selfish with what God has first given unto me, but that I use it for the service of the saints in the body of Jesus Christ. And that's what we find here in 2 Corinthians 9, what the Apostle Paul is speaking of in verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, Paul is saying to the Christians in Corinth, it becomes your duty now, and you have been doing this, and continue to engage in this, to minister to the saints, to give to the poor and needy. And the Corinthians were a very generous congregation. And Paul is about to go to the city of Corinth to collect their generosity and go and deliver it to the needy saints in Jerusalem. And this generosity is a cause of thanksgiving to God, so that Paul gives thanks, so that the Corinthians are a thankful people, and no doubt that the saints in Jerusalem will thank God as well for their care of them. We take as our theme for this sermon 2 Corinthians 9, 8, and 11, having sufficiency in all things. Let's note first the meaning of that. Secondly, the purpose. Why does God give us sufficiency in all things? And finally, the result. Having sufficiency in all things. And that's the wording of verse 8. That ye always having all sufficiency. And that means that whether a child of God lives in deep poverty, or whether the child of God has abundant prosperity all his or her life, in both circumstances, this is true of that person, you and me included, that God has given us all sufficiency. And that word sufficiency means to increase, to abound, to overflow. So that when the child of God confesses, I have all sufficiency, then that's a confession of, I have more than enough. I am overflowing with the abundance that it's pleased the Lord to give me. Now the context here in 2 Corinthians 9 has to do with the material possessions of the Corinthians. They were in the process of taking a collection for the poor and needy saints in Jerusalem during that time of famine. The apostle encourages them now to give liberally and to give cheerfully and to ward off that wrong thinking that goes this way. But if I give too much, then I'm going to be putting myself and my family in a bad predicament. To ward off that bad thinking, the apostle says, no, even in your giving, God still gives us all sufficiency in all things. And that's true of us. That's our confession this year. God has given us sufficiently. This entire year long, God has kept us. He's given us food to eat, clothes to keep us warm, houses in which we may be sheltered. These are the basics of life. These are the necessities. And God has given unto us sufficiently. And anything above that is extra. And it even has pleased the Lord God to give us a certain measure of that extra. So that on this Thanksgiving Day, we look at all of the variety of food on the table. And we look at all those cans in the cupboard. We look at all the clothes in the closets. And we have so much. We have so much. Sometimes even so much that we have to throw some of that food away. Sometimes so much that we don't have any more room in the pantry or in the closet for those cans of food. So much so that we look in the depths of our closet and we can't even remember when we acquired that shirt or that blouse or that dress because we have so many else besides. Today especially, we pause and we look at all that God has given and it becomes our confession. God has given us sufficiently and we have enough. And we don't need any more because God has given sufficiently. And to drive that point home, verse 8 says, not simply that we have sufficiency, but that we have all sufficiency in all things. Now maybe somebody might be inclined to say, well, I have sufficient food, but I don't think I have sufficient clothing. I need more. I need better variety. Or that somebody would say, I have sufficient clothing, but I don't have sufficient housing. No, don't have that. I need a bigger house. Need a better house. And though it may be the case in our lives when we need to upgrade our physical possessions, whether it be the family vehicle or to move into a larger house because of the growing family, in those circumstances, we trust the Lord will provide what we need. But the point is, right now, in the position that God has placed you, in the circumstances of your life right now, in every single compartment of your life, and now, is it not true that God has given you sufficiently and that you have what you need? The answer is, He has. God has given us all sufficiency in all things. And still the text will emphasize it even more. The question now is, when do we have sufficiency in all things? And the answer is always. Always having all sufficiency in all things. Adding up, piling these superlatives upon these superlatives for our comfort and for our admonition so that there is not a time in your life or mine when Almighty Sovereign God has not provided. As little children, as teenagers, growing up, now we have a family. Now we find ourselves in our latter years and maybe even nearing the end of our life. God has provided. Always. And maybe you children can do that this afternoon if you're going to be going to Grandpa and Grandma's house. You ask Grandpa and Grandma that question sometime today, but you ask them, in all the years of your life, Grandpa and Grandma, was there ever a time when God did not provide? And I suspect that Grandpa and Grandma will say, there were times when we hardly had anything. There were times when we had abundance of things, but always the Lord provided. Always the Lord took care of us. And it's summed up well in verse 11, being enriched in everything, so that God has given unto us so much. He has not been miserly. He has not held His hand back. He has not given sparingly, but He has opened His hand wide. He has given unto us all that we need, even above what we need, and we are enriched in everything. And today, we're called to recognize that and to render unto God most humble and hearty thanks for it. But now there's something important that we have to keep in mind, that these earthly gifts that it pleases God to give unto us, that they are not in and of themselves an indication of God's grace. So that it's true what we read in verse 8, that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And we'll examine that phrase in a little bit more in depth in just a bit. But this for now, that grace is not in things. Grace is not in the physical things that it pleases God to give a man. If that's how we measure the amount of God's grace, then I suppose that even the ungodly men in the world would be just as much blessed as we are. Then when ungodly men whom it pleases the Lord to give many physical possessions, then they too would be the objects of God's grace and the objects of God's blessing. And to carry that logic through all the way to the end, then the millionaires and the billionaires of this world would be the most blessed by God and have the most grace because they have more physical stuff than anybody else does. And you understand that's the logical conclusion of the false doctrine of common grace. If God gives good gifts to his elect children, and if those same good gifts come to the unregenerate wicked, the rain and the sunshine for the crops, a bountiful harvest, and so many other things besides, if that's a blessing for God's people, supposedly, then the same thing must be blessing for others. And if God gives lots of those earthly gifts to his people, then supposedly the man who has the greatest amount has the greatest amount of God's blessing and favor and grace. But you see, that's false. That's wrong. Not only is common grace wrong because it has a love of God for all men, a desire on the part of God that all men would believe the preaching of the gospel and a love for them in the preaching of the gospel, but common grace also teaches that the grace of God is in things. So that a more a person has, the more he is blessed by God. And we say, no, that's wrong. Always and everywhere, the grace of God is particular. Only for his people. Only for his elect. Though God gives the unregenerate many good things, and they're called to recognize that and praise God for it, and yet they don't. And all those things only then serve for their destruction. God putting them in slippery places and they fall to their own destruction. They're called to serve God. They're called to love God with what God gives unto them, but they give not God the glory. God's grace is only to his people, to his elect. The grace of God is his favor, the grace that finds its basis in the cross of Jesus Christ. And yes, the text speaks of the grace of God in verse 8, that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. But the reference and the application is to the abounding of God's grace is not to God giving all sufficiency, but the abounding of God's grace refers to the purpose in which God gives all those things. And then that leads us to the second point, the purpose why God gives all sufficiency in all things. The purpose is not that I use all this stuff for myself. That's our natural inclination. That's what we want to do by nature. We look at all that we have and we say, all this stuff that I have, my vehicles, my tools, the certain talents and abilities that God gives me, I've got to use it for me. The money that I make. I worked hard to bring that paycheck home. I'm going to look after myself first. And then maybe, if there's anything left over, I will look after the needs of others. But no, that's not the purpose. That's not the purpose why God gives unto us all sufficiency in all things, so that we simply look at ourselves and our own comfort in life, an attitude that's all about me and cares nothing about the neighbor. But this is the purpose why God gives us sufficiency in all things. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. Now here's the purpose of this grace abounding in our lives. That then you may abound to every good work. And the Apostle Paul has a specific good work in mind. It's the good work of giving to others. It's the kind of giving spoken of in verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It's the same kind of giving spoken in verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. And that word bountifulness speaks of a generosity, of a liberal nature to give unto others. God has enriched us in everything so that we might give generously, so that we might give liberally. And the exhortation is then that God has been so generous to us, let us show our thanksgiving to God by being generous to others. And according to the context, then, to give to others who are in need. And that's what we learn from the context, the Corinthians giving to the needy saints in Jerusalem. And we read of this prior in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 11, that there is a famine in Judea, especially severe in Jerusalem. And there were Christian families, husbands who lost their jobs, wives now losing their husbands, and they need help, and they need assistance. And even though the Corinthians are hundreds and hundreds of miles away, and though the Corinthians will never even in their lifetime see most, if not all, of those saints in Jerusalem, yet the Corinthians are willing to abound in this good work in giving for the help and for the assistance of those poor in Jerusalem. And that's the calling that comes to us now on this Thanksgiving Day. We're to look around at all that God has given to us so generously. Look at all sufficiency in all things, and to say, this is the purpose of it all, that I may abound in this good work of giving, that I may give liberally and cheerfully to those who are in need. And so that might very well mean that as we shortly enter the Christmas season, and when we are given to really spend more than we ought, when we are given to go overboard and to be excessive in the giving of our gifts, that we now say, I have all sufficiency in all things, and I'm going to use what God has first given unto me to help those who are in need, to help that needy family, to assist in whatever way, shape, or form that I can. And then not only to those who are in need, but now we can extend the application far and wide to all of the causes of the kingdom. First and foremost, being the benevolent fund. That's what we see the Corinthians essentially doing here, giving to the benevolent fund for the needy in Jerusalem. And so we will not be miserly when we give for the help of the poor and needy. But then so many other collections besides, so many different offerings, whether it's offerings for the operation and maintenance of the good Christian schools as we did already the service. Whether it's for the causes of domestic missions or foreign missions, and the list goes on, but all kinds of needs, all kinds of help that has been given, and now look at what God has given you. All sufficiency in all things, and not just for a little point of time in your life, but always all sufficiency in all things. And the reason why we have that all sufficiency in all things is not that we would hang on to it, not that we would hoard it all for ourselves, but that we give liberally and generously, and that we give cheerfully. And the beauty of it is that even when we give liberally and cheerfully, that we are not depleting our sufficiency. We're not becoming less, as it were. Even when we give generously, yet in that circumstance, God is providing for us sufficiently. And that's encouragement for us to continue giving, because our giving does not deplete our sufficiency. And the reason why not is because our sufficiency ultimately is not in things. Our sufficiency is not measured by the amount of goods that we possess, but our sufficiency, go back a few chapters, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is that God is the God of our salvation. Our sufficiency is that God keeps us and preserves us. And He who is faithful to His promises will infallibly bring us to eternal glory. And that means that if we give so much, if we would happen to give so much that we would put ourselves now even in a physical state of poverty, and yet even in that circumstance we would have to confess that I have all sufficiency because I have God and I have the Lord Jesus Christ, and His love and His grace for me never fails, and I am rich. So that even as that widow woman of Luke 21 who gave all that she had, those two little mites, those two measly little pennies, and yet she did not lose her sufficiency, even though she gave all that she had, because her sufficiency was of God. And yet at times we are hesitant to give. We come up with all kinds of excuses why we ought not to give, or especially why we ought not to give so much. And in the naughtiness of our hearts we say, how little can I give, and yet not come across as being too stingy. And somebody says, but how much do I need to give? How generous do I really need to be for my neighbor? Well, in the Old Testament, there was an easy rule. The rule was tithing. You were required to give 10% of that which you made. But we know that tithing belonged to the laws of the Old Testament, to the ceremonial laws. And in the coming of Jesus Christ, He's fulfilled those ceremonial laws. So that now in the Old Testament, the exact amount is not mandated. And when the New Testament does speak about giving, it doesn't require the tithe anymore. And yet the Word of God does give us the answer. How much do I need to give? And God's Word directs us to the cross of Jesus Christ. And put yourself there. at the cross of Calvary and see your Savior die and suffer the wrath of God for all your sins, and now ask yourself the question, how much did Jesus give for me? Miserable, rotten sinner that I am by nature, was Jesus stingy in what he did for you and me? Did he hold himself back? When Jesus died on the cross, did he have his own well-being in mind? Or was he thinking of others? Did he have you and me in mind? And then be reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He was rich as the second person of the Trinity, but now he became poor insofar as he condescended himself and took upon himself our flesh and blood. He became poor as he gave of himself there on the cross of Calvary, giving himself and his love for you and for me. But our Savior wasn't stingy in what he gave. He did not hold back. He gave generously. He gave liberally. He gave his own life for the sake of his people. And so, how much ought we to give? How generous do we have to be in our giving to the neighbor? And then you think of Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation, but then also looked not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. An admonition, don't be so worried about your own things that you forget to look after the needs of others. Look after the things of the neighbor and have a heart that seeks out the good of the neighbor and give. And give generously and liberally and cheerfully. And when you do so, giving generously on this Thanksgiving Day and during this holiday season, then this is the power of God's grace working in you. Because that shows us the relationship now. This is the relationship between grace and things. In verse 8, that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So that an abounding of grace does not bring forth an abounding of possessions. That's not the relationship, but rather this. An abounding of grace does bring forth an abounding of good works. And that's the purpose of God giving us all sufficiency in all things that we may give for the welfare of the neighbor. And then the result, what we read in verse 11, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. So that we will give thanksgiving to God in all things. We will give thanks to God for the sufficiency that he has given unto us. And on this day we recognize that. We thank God for it. He has provided all our needs in this past year. He has taken care of us. Sometimes that care of his means that he takes things away from us. That even our earthly life becomes hard and difficult for a while, but even that we know is for our good. But today, let's take special note of the sufficiency God has given unto us. As we sit around the table and partake of a Thanksgiving meal, God provides for us, and we give him thanks. And let's give thanks also for those unto whom we may give of the abundance that God has first given unto us. If there were no poor, then the temptation would be all the more for you and me to hoard all our money. If there were no other kingdom causes, then the temptation would be there for you and me to gather up all of our money and to keep it for ourselves. But God will teach us humility. He will teach us love. He will teach us that all that we have, it doesn't belong to me. And if we happen to be those who are poor and needy for a time, let's give thanks to God for the abundance that it pleases Him to give to others, knowing that God will use the abundance He gives to others so that we may say of ourselves, I have all sufficiency in all things. So much thanksgiving we ought to render to God. And lastly, this morning, let's give thanks to God for the abounding of His grace toward us. The grace which is the power of God to save us. The grace of God which puts us in the proper frame of mind to rightly see all that God has given unto us, and by that grace that we would abound in every good work. And so today and every day, we thank God for giving unto us all sufficiency in all things, always, every day of our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou art the God who loves Thy people, who takes care of Thy people, who feeds even the beasts in the field, all Thy creation, and giving unto us all sufficiency in all things. Forgive us when we murmur, when we complain, when we think that our life is hard because of a lack of physical possessions, but then give us to see Thy grace and to see the overflowing abundance that we have, and that in humble thanksgiving to Thee, we would abound in every good work, giving generously and liberally and cheerfully out of great thanksgiving for what Thou hast done for us in Jesus Christ. Bless us in this day. Keep us in Thy care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.